Friends, on April the 2nd in the year 2014 at 4 p.m., I want to just tell you that there was an active shooter event that happened in Fort Hood, Texas that took the lives of a lot of people. And I want to tell you there in the midst of the 49th Transportation Unit Battalion offices, 11 rounds were fired. We're going to talk about the prophetic understanding of all this, but four people, including the gunman, were killed, and the shooter was Army Specialist Ivan Lopez. And in the midst of all of this stuff that happened, in the midst of this horrible tragedy, and people trying to go, "What in the world is happening here? And how can this possibly happen?" My good friend John Arroyo was there on duty. He was a Green Beret, had already done all kinds of crazy stuff, seen combat, and while he's trying to discern what was actually taking place, this Green Beret gets targeted and gets shot in the throat and left to die. Whenever my team was putting all this together, one of the things that totally blew my mind, and I'm looking for here, Kip, is the date of the shooting. And the date of the shooting is 4-2, right? And I want to read to you a scripture that is a 4-2 scripture that I believe that many people are asking the same question today after this active shooter event that happened in Uvalde, Texas. And it is Psalms 42. And Psalms 42, and remember this, friends, this happened on April the 2nd. Psalms 42 is a yearning for God in the midst of distress. A yearning for God in the midst of distress. And it says, "As a deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts after you. My soul longs after you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God?" That is a 4-2 scripture. And on April the 2nd, several years ago, an event took place that caused people to ask this question, the same as people are asking it today. And I want to introduce you somebody, a veteran, a very good friend of mine, who can answer this question better than anybody else, who was actually there on the date 4-2, as the world was asking the question, "Where is your God?" This is my very good friend, Brother John Arroyo. Hello, Brother John. I'm going to bring you up. Boom. Hey, my brother.
Hey, Pastor. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Wednesday Watch. It's a big deal that you're here, man. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, Pastor Troy, I think it's very important for us to have these conversations and not shrink back and hide. And you know, when these incidents happen, it's easy for me that lived through something like this to run back and hide and shell. But that's not what God saved me for. He saved us to go and to help and to share and to help those that are going through it as well.
John, man, we have so much to talk about. Let's just start off by just talking about what happened on 4-2. What was the year, my brother?
It was April 2nd of 2014.
So what happened on April the 2nd of 2014? And please walk us through that.
Yeah. I'm just going to kind of get us to that point. So 4:00 in the afternoon on April 2nd, I've already spent my day at work on the military base Fort Hood. I was previously on Fort Bragg for 15 years. This is a new duty station for me. So I'd been on Fort Hood for about 5 months now. And so it's April 2nd, 2014, 4:00 in the afternoon. I'm getting out of my car and I'm rushing over to my headquarters there on Fort Hood. I work for 1st Medical Brigade. For those of you that understand that lingo, I was with the 1st Medical Brigade and I was trying to get over to my unit headquarters, and I exit my car and I hear shots fired. And let me just paint a quick picture. To my 9 o'clock was the first medical brigade headquarters. To my 11 to 12 o'clock were all the unit buildings. And then to my 1 o'clock is where I heard the shots fired. And beyond that was a transportation unit. So I had heard the shots fired and I'm looking as I exited my vehicle. And then a vehicle pulls up in front of me, Pastor Troy, and I see the vehicle. I see that there's somebody inside. But, you know, I was on base that day. I was behind security. When I went to work that day, Pastor Troy, there was someone checked my D card, and that individual had a badge and a gun and body armor, and I was behind them. So I didn't think that I was in danger. So I see the vehicle and I acknowledge the individual, but I think that the vehicle is just going to drive off. I turned my head back again once to where I heard the shots fired, and the next shot I heard ripped through my throat. One soldier was on a shooting spree, just like what we heard in Uvalde, one individual. What I was hearing is when he was driving down the road, he was shooting at everybody he saw. When he got in front of me, I didn't realize that he stopped and pulled a .45 and had a bead on me. And when I turned my head to the right to look to where I heard those shots fired, the next shot I heard ripped through my throat. I took a .45 that severed my jugular vein, went through my voice box, and it traveled into my right shoulder. The driver drives off. I walk back to my car, and I think I was just instinctively just trying to get away from him. And I walked away. I turned and I get to my vehicle and I fall flat on my face, and my life is pouring out. And Pastor Troy, it's exactly what you just said. Where was your God? There was a lot of people asking that question in that moment, because that wasn't the first Fort Hood shooting, Pastor Troy. That was actually the second Fort Hood shooting.
Sure was. Yeah, there was a spirit. There was a spirit involved behind all of that. And we know all about the other Fort Hood shooting and how tragic and horrible that was. And then here you are just minding your own business at work, a Green Beret, somebody who has actually done, I think you've done two tours. Is that correct?
Three, two to Afghanistan, one to Iraq.
Two to Afghanistan, one to Iraq. Hey, by the way, thank you for your service, my brother. So proud of you, man.
You're worth it. I thank you for your service, for what you're doing for the kingdom.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. So you've been over there, you know, you'd seen all that, never even imagined that, you know, in Texas, that your life would be in danger of some knucklehead shooting you, that you'd be caught in the middle of a war zone on the home front. Craziness.
That's right.
Well, so tell us what happened after that.
Well, I'm laying on the ground and my life is pouring out, you know. Pastor Troy, I'm not saying that people don't live after being shot in the throat with a .45, but I haven't met them. As I'm laying on the ground, my life is pouring out, and I hear this audible voice. Now, years later, I know who it was. Jesus was audibly speaking to me, and this is what he said. He said, "John, get up, or your wife is going to die." I shook
not
it off.
Get up, not get up, or you're going to die. But you right. Get up or your wife is going to die.
That's right. Yeah.
He called you by name, John.
He called me by name. And I want to say this, Pastor Troy. I had never heard God's audible voice. And I had been told that God speaks. But for many years as a young punk, you know, the reason why I joined the military is because I was a gang member, drug addict. I was on a different frequency for a lot of years of my life. And so when God is speaking to me, I just thought I was talking to myself. I'll just be honest with you. And I hear the voice once again. And the voice says this, "John, get up." But this time in a more stern voice, "John, get up or your wife is going to die." You know what, Pastor Troy? I realize now why God had to tell me to get up twice, because I didn't listen to him the first time. There's many people that God has spoken to audibly. And we're going to hear about the miracles. And Jesus was telling me to get up, and here's why. And Pastor Troy, there's going to be so many miracles that come out of Uvalde. I'm telling you, it's just they haven't processed it yet. Just like me, it took me a little while to understand that was actually God talking to me. And it's going to take some processing. When you go through a traumatic event, you're not going to understand everything that happened to you right away. Took me years to understand some of the things. And it took my wife years to understand some of the things that happened to us in that moment, because it was so traumatic.
Friend, I want to tell you this. My team was looking up because, again, for people that don't know caliber of weapons, you know, Joe Biden's acting like he understands that now, which what a joke that is. Anyway, knucklehead. So I want to say this. I want to throw this out there to you and tell you this. A 45 is a big caliber, and it leaves a big hole. In fact, I know that there was a testimony of somebody who saw you walking, and we're going to get to that point. They thought that a big red ribbon was around your neck and was flapping in the wind. That's how much blood was coming out of your throat. Okay. It wasn't a red bandana. It wasn't a red ribbon. It was a flow of blood that was just spurting out of your body. That was what was happening. Okay. So a 45 leaves a big hole. And again, I can't imagine anybody being shot in the throat with a 45 and living through it. Not to mention being able to speak. Okay. Which is a whole nother miracle. But the bottom line is, while you were laying there and you were about to die, the Bible says that God speaketh once, yet twice, yet man perceiveth it not, right? God spoke to you once and said, John, get up or your wife will die. And then he said it again, and he said it much more stern, like with a huge sense of urgency, like as if to say, right now, and I'm not teasing, get up, right? And he said, John, get up or your wife will die. You were shot with the 45 in Isaiah 45. Verses 4-5 says this: For the sake of Jacob, my servant of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and I bestow upon you a title of honor. Though you do not acknowledge me. That's the last part of that. Meaning the first time you didn't acknowledge it. I mean, you literally are the fulfillment of Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, 4-5, and you were shot in the throat. And he says, I call you by name, though you didn't acknowledge me the first time. Did you know that?
It wasn't until I read those notes a couple of days ago from your team that I was like, they said, this word's for John. And I was like, that is my word. I took it, Pastor Troy. I got it. It's still in my heart.
Brother, we'll talk about here in a minute why your wife would have died, but let's continue talking about, so you were able to get up, and I can't even imagine what was going through your mind and what you were feeling with your throat blown out, with your shoulder completely shot to pieces, and then getting up. What was that like? And then what did you go do? And while you were walking, what was the shooter doing? What's happening during this time?
Well, you know, Pastor Troy, I just felt this in my heart as you were talking. It felt hopeless. And I don't know if your listeners right now, whatever they're going through, maybe they didn't get shot at Fort Hood. Maybe they're just watching the 10 Spies Network and everything they see looks hopeless. That's what my situation felt for me. It felt hopeless. And so when Jesus spoke to me audibly and told me to get up, I wanted to look up towards heaven and say, Jesus, do you realize what you just asked me? Do you not see the blood pouring out of my neck? It felt hopeless, Pastor Troy. And I know that a lot of people right now that are watching this podcast right now, they feel hopeless, but I want them to know that in the midst of a hopeless situation, God was working, audibly speaking to me, he set everything in place. You know what it took, though? It took a bit of obedience. I had to obey that voice. Mm. I got up and started moving based on a word that the Lord gave me. There was no, around me, there was no evidence that anyone was going to help me. There was no evidence. All the evidence around me was that I was going to die any second. But all I had was the obedience and the last word I heard, which was get up. So I get up, I start moving. And I go to grab my throat with my right hand because I'm right-handed. That's when I realized my right shoulder didn't work and the bullet, it damaged the nerves in my right arm. And so I felt like I was in one of those Terminator movies, you know, maybe Rambo, you know, the Green Beret where he shot up, but he's still moving. That's what I felt like. And I grab my throat with my left hand and I'm just stumbling and I'm walking. And, you know, this is a base that has thousands of soldiers, Pastor Troy. I should have seen hundreds of soldiers moving around, but I didn't. There was only one soldier coming towards me from a distance. And we end up on the same walkway. We're walking towards each other and I'm trying to get to him because I just know that once I get to him, I'm gonna get help. He gets 10 feet in front of me and he stops. And what I realized, Pastor Troy, once again, is that I was in a hopeless situation because I was standing in front of the man that just shot me. He shot me from his car. He drives off. He gets out of his car and he looks for more people to shoot. We end up on the same walkway, 10 feet from each other, and he's staring at me. And then he's frantically looking around, and I realize, man, this guy's going to kill me. And
you stumble up to a guy, the one guy that you see, you're on the same walkway walking towards each other. Your body is shot to pieces and you're stumbling towards and get help. And you get 10 feet away from him and realize that's the dude that just shot me. And he's still that's in the right. midst of shooting people. He's still in that's the midst right. of looking for somebody else to kill.
You know, in that hopeless situation, it was actually hopeful, because here's what happened. Jesus blinded him. And that's what we're going to talk about. That's what people are going to hear. It may be days, it may be months, it may be years, but there's going to be miracles, because God, I believe, blinded more people. He blinded the enemy from seeing more people. And this is important. There was three people that shooter killed that day. As a matter of fact, when God blinded him from seeing me, he turned, walks away, walks in a building, shoots three more people, walks down the back of a building and kills himself. That day, he shot 19 of us. Three of them he killed, and then he killed himself. But here's what people don't understand. It was a bad situation. I'm not saying that the people that lost their lives, it was good for them. I'm not saying that. But here's what I want you to know. It was exponentially more people lived than lost their lives. Three people lost their lives and 16 people lived after being shot. Now in Uvalde, I know it was tragic. I know it because I speak from experience. But there was a lot more than 19 kids and two teachers in that school, and it could have been a lot worse.
So you walked up to him, you get to him, Brother John, and the guy just looks right through you. He doesn't see you standing there. You're right in front of him. He's in the process of killing people, and he's looking for somebody to kill. You're 10 feet away from him. You're directly in front of him. You two guys were walking together and walking towards each other, and he didn't see you.
That's right.
You know, I heard one time when I was Corrie Ten Boom, testimonies and other kind of cool stuff. And she said, you know what? If the Lord is able to make the blind eyes see, he can also make the seeing eyes blind. And you've actually experienced that. I can't even imagine. So then he actually went into a building and he was doing a murderous rampage.
Yeah.
As you came face to face with him, but he looked right through you and he did not see you. And you had got up because God Almighty told you to. I wonder if he'd have been able to see you, and I bet he would have been, if you were still laying on the ground just a few feet away.